And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Don Sutherland here. G'day, Don. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Annie. G'day to you and to all of your listeners.
Yeah.
They're all safe and working their way through this very difficult process of the continued restrictions and so on, even though some of them are being lifted very gradually.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. It is fairly arduous, but... the issue that we wanted to talk about at the moment was freedom, which has been put into a nice little box with a ribbon on it, an American Trumpish sort of ribbon, really, around anti-vaccination. But you've got other things you want to say about freedom, don't you?
Well, I think it would be worthwhile following on from last week to acknowledge that the situation we're in at the moment has put into the public sphere the opportunity for a deep discussion, a much deeper discussion about freedom and the individual. And these moments in history are pretty rare, actually, where, if you like, philosophy becomes public property. And although you could argue that there are all sorts of ways in which unconsciously that's what's going on, of course, but freedom in the individual was at the sort of those issues are at the forefront of the thug violence, organised thug violence against the CFMEU and the people of Melbourne in general just the week before last. So yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about it, about the nature of freedom, and in relationship to that, the whole question of the individual. And one reason for that is that I would suggest that the union movement is still struggling, and the left has been struggling for some decades to get their heads around the whole question of the individual and freedom of choice and so on, whereas the Liberal National Party and its think tanks and employer organisations have been very confident and on the offensive about their definition holding sway in the community. So maybe just to kick the whole question off, the big debate is that when the anti-vaccination people and the people who are against lockdowns, because they are restrictions on freedom, in inverted commas. The big question, of course, is, well, what is the freedom that they want to do? Now, it's pretty easy to criticise and ridicule the obvious freedom they want to be able to urinate in public on public buildings and so on. And they do want to be able to, the freedom to be able to attack citizens in their motor cars and health workers going about their desperately needed work. That's pretty easy to pull apart and realise that that sort of thuggery can be defeated at that level. But the deeper question is, if they're wanting freedom to go back to something which is captured in this phrase, let's have a freedom day as soon as we can, or let's have a freedom march as soon as restrictions are lifted. And now even the government is invoking that concept that, everything that the Morrison government is doing is about getting us back to restoring our freedoms.
It's also tied very tightly to, because they're so involved in public relations massaging, very, very sort of, Goebbels, I'll have to say. But the Freedom March obviously is related to, black Americans fighting for their rights.
Well, will this restored state of freedom enable the people in general to fight effectively and struggle effectively against racism? Will it enable them to protest effectively against those who wish to ignore going on with climate heating. October the 15th is a national day of action for school students against climate change. Now, in several states and other locations around the country, there are going to be deep street demonstrations. If any of them get really direct in terms of lifting the level of anger against corporations and governments who are too slow to make the necessary changes, is there then freedom for the police, those that Kevin just described as the neo-fascists in uniform, is there freedom for them to physically prevent the effectiveness of those protests? We could go on. Does it mean the freedom to scab, for example? Unionists, when they engage in industrial action, in strike action, get very angry and justifiably with people who, after a democratic decision of the majority to take the action, who don't do so. It's called scabbing. Are the champions of freedom amongst the anti-vaxxers and those who are opposed to restrictions, are they saying that there should be the freedom to refuse to join in a strike action that has been democratically decided upon? Of course they are. That's what they're saying. But it's ridiculous. And one can go on, is it a return to the freedom for people to bludge off those so that, you know, there's, what is it, 12% union density thereabouts, depending on the industry? Those who work alongside of unionists enjoy the same conditions of work, that pay, including safety and so on, in which unionists and their union officials establish certain standards. Does this restoration of freedom mean that those people can just bludge, not pay any union dues, not participate in the meetings, but bludge nevertheless? So this is what they're talking about when they talk about freedom days.
Or as someone else has pointed out, Don, it's a freedom to cause sickness in other people around them.
And so it goes on, exactly. Should nurses and other health professional registered nurses who are required to be vaccinated in order to go about their work, and furthermore not to spread anti-scientific knowledge, should they be given the freedom to continue to do so? The nurses are not even, you know, by overwhelming majority, nurses are not demanding that sort of freedom. But that is the freedom that the anti-vaxxers and the anti-restrictionists people, the anti-virus restrictionist people, are in fact arguing for in practice. And above all, this is where they dovetail perfectly with what the employers really want out of this, which is the employer's right to exploit. And that is what employers ask for when they talk about employer rights in terms of things like the Fair Work Act. That's all of the changes that were brought into industrial relations laws since the early 90s has been all about the rights being extended to employers to pursue high rates of exploitation of the workforce. Is that the freedom that the anti-vaxxers and their champions who desperately want to get back to normal, the normal standards of food, that is in fact what they are asking to do?
I mean, you know, this leads me to say, who are they working for?
Well, sorry, ask that question again, please.
I mean, this leads me to wonder, who are they working for?
Well, I think it's, I think Kevin is right on to something when he talks about the relationship between neo-fascists and mufti, or plain clothes, ordinary street clothes, and those who are in uniform. Now, what we've seen so far is the invocation of heavy-duty police methods to attack the anti-vax, anti-restriction protests, the violent thuggery, organised thuggery protests. Now, I think that at some point in time, it is entirely possible that those two forces can be brought together. Historically, in Australia, that is what has happened. That the plain clothes thuggery gets brought together with the uniform thuggery to prevent effective social protest, social demonstrations, industrial actions, and so on. And that is always to the great advantage of the most powerful employers, corporations, and so on. That reconnecting. So instead of the police attacking the organised thuggery, there is potentially a point at which they come together. And the purpose of that is to entirely destroy the capacity of the ordinary population to combine together to pursue its demands for a better deal in the society. And I think that's potentially where we are heading in the next 12 months to 3 or 4 years. Now, mixed up with this is in this, you know, demand for a return to freedom is, of course, the whole question of the individual. And I think the left and the union movement in general is still struggling with this conceptually. So, for example, we have a prominent union leader saying, I've stated that I'm not against vaccination. I said I'm against the state government taking away people's right to choose for themselves. Now, there are variations in that statement in some union statements about mandatory vaccination. It's not quite as direct as that. But that formulation, that way of thinking, is a misunderstanding of the status of the individual in union activity. The employers and the LNP, since the late 80s, have, in a very heavy-duty way, promoted what they call the rights of the individual, which is, as I argue, is really a right for individual people to form themselves as an employer and be able to exploit others. And then that gets extended to the big employers. Now, that, and in, mixed up in that, is a freedom to choose whether or not you're in a union or not. So the freedom of association law gets redefined as a freedom of association or and freedom from association, which is a right to bludging. That's the legal right to bludge off of others in the society. So this whole thing of the individual, I think the important way to understand this is the difference between individualism and individuality. In fact, they are polar opposites. The employer's demand to promote individualism, the rights of the individual, is all about self-centeredness, self-advancement, self-protection, self-love, all of those sorts of things, and selfishness above all. Individuality is something entirely different. That collective human activity through unions and other forms of organisation, individuality is the each person's unique ability to be themselves and develop their human capacity to constantly be in a process of development and improvement that they seek that expresses their unique personality. And the best protection for that is not individualism. That actually denies individuality. The best protection for that is combination, bringing together people so that they can pursue demands that enable the unique development of each person's unique capacities. So I think that if we understand political and union action and other social action as all about protecting and enhancing individuality, we are then striking a blow about self-centered and selfish individualism. Now, my experience is talking about individuality is a very helpful way to help workers get the disease of individualism, the rights of the individual, the freedom of choice of the individual, out of their heads.
Yeah. That well put, well put. We've come to the end, but I'm so glad you were able to say that, because it's so clear that this individualism and selfishness it puts individuals in danger.
Exactly, individualism is actually a threat to each person's future, ongoing possibilities to develop their personalities, their unique capacities.
Yeah, it's very dangerous stuff.
Yes.
Thanks for talking to me today, Don.
We didn't even get onto conspiracies, perhaps another time.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for that. And I sought out the song that you referenced, Freedom at Woodstock. So we'll end up the program with that.
That's terrific.
Thanks, mate.
That was freedom being the absence of racism and yeah. slavery.
Yeah. I didn't even know what's his name, Richie?
Richie Havens.
I didn't even know Richie Havens was at Woodstock, which is fascinating, because I looked at the films, the clip that went with it, which was live footage of Woodstock, and it's really interesting because the entire audience is young white people.
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious, considering it's supposed to be about, you know, the great flowering of American political and self-awareness culture. Well, you know, I suppose that's who are you talking about, white man?
Exactly. And, of course, the last performance at Woodstock, I think it was the last performance, was Jimi Hendrix's rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, which is one of the great performances yeah. of political art wherever, you know, you could ever possibly see. And, of course, Jimmy was also a black musician. And
yeah.
What a, you know, remarkable performance. And, yes, it reinforces your point. There he was doing this remarkable performance in the face of a white audience.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly a white audience, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating stuff. Okay. Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
We'll talk again soon. Bye for now.
And that was Don Sutherland. And we are indeed at the end of the program. Coming up next is Asia Pacific Currents. And as I said, Freedom at Woodstock is going to show us out the door.
Guitar of Mike, please. Guitar Mike. Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Come on.
home. Yeah, yeah, love. Singing freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Yeah, long, long, long. Clap your hands, 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 yeah, clap your hands. Hey, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. I got a telephone. And I can call him up from my heart. I got a telephone in my pajama. And I can call him up from my heart. When I need my brother, brother. When I need my father, father. Hey, mother, mother. Hey, sister. Yeah. When I need my brother.